Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special welcome to our guests and our visitors. If you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us here at St. Benedict's. We're so happy to have you. If you see some empty pews this morning, it's because we've got about 1,000 things going on this weekend. Yesterday, we had our blessing of the animals in the evening, and so a lot of our 10 o'clockers were there, and it was beautiful. We had the reunion of the alumni of St. Hugh's School in Jamaica. We also had the Cursillo weekend. We have about 50-plus women, about 40 minutes that way, at the Duncan Center in Delray Beach doing their Cursillo, a lot of them from our parish team members and pilgrims. So say a special prayer for the women on Cursillo. We're also in the process of building our labyrinth outside. So if you want to know, this place has been busy, busy, busy. And it's so great to be able to see all of you here on this morning. There was a town where they depended a great deal on farming. And they were suffering because they had been going through a drought, a severe drought, for a long, long time. And the people there were very, very distraught. Their hearts were heavy. They were beginning to lose faith. And they really didn't feel well. And you could tell in their faces that there was sadness, there was great stress, because they were not able to produce for themselves. And so the pastor of the town noticed this and said, "Next Sunday, I want you all to come and bring everyone, especially those who never come to church, bring them and have everyone bring a symbol of their faith, some physical, tangible thing that speaks of their faith in the power of God." And so sure enough, that Sunday, the church was packed. Lots of people came. And the men brought their Bibles, you know, their leather-bound Bibles and their crosses. And the women brought, you know, some of their necklaces with the religious symbols and their prayer books. And some brought rosary beads. And the children brought their books from Sunday school that taught them about God and all the different things that they had around the house that they could see that reminded them of God. But there was one little girl, a 9-year-old girl, that brought something different. Her symbol was totally different than the rest of the stuff up there on the altar. She brought an umbrella. And she put her umbrella up there, and the pastor was touched when he saw the umbrella. And he called her up and said, "Little Nancy, come up here, please. Explain to us your symbol of faith. What is that all about?" The little girl proceeded to take the umbrella and open it. And she said, "Pastor, I brought my umbrella because I believe God's going to make it rain." And she opened it up, and everyone in the church was touched by her symbol of faith. You know, in today's gospel, it begins with a heavy subject, because the word divorce comes up a few times, doesn't it? And divorce is always a painful experience. I've never met anyone who deliberately wanted to get divorced. I believe divorce for most people is traumatic and difficult. And in 25 years as an ordained minister in the church, I can tell you everyone I've ever talked to that went through the experience of divorce remembers it as a painful, difficult time. But I believe that God is capable of healing all things. He heals relationships, he heals families, he heals those who have gone through it. So what I want to say today about divorce is, let's pray for those who have been through that painful, difficult experience. Because anytime I've heard a sermon about divorce, it's usually judgmental, and it doesn't really hit the spot. I think there's something in today's gospel which is much more meaningful and much more important than that. God's not too interested in our past. God is interested in our future. And Jesus says something about letting the children come. Let the children come to me. It seems almost like an abrupt shift, right? From the topic, the heavy topic of divorce, and then people were bringing little children to Jesus. You'll see it there. And then Jesus rebukes and tells the disciples, no, stop. Let them come. It is to just such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. I believe that that's the more demanding topic in today's gospel. Are we able to be like little children? Now, please don't get me wrong. Jesus is not promoting immaturity. He doesn't want you to suck your thumb at the age of 40 and sit around like you're a child. No! When Jesus speaks of being childlike, of being like children, it reminds me of another part of the gospel. You remember in the Beatitudes when Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall... Say it again. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall... A little Bible trivia this morning. That's good. Hey, you're good. They shall see God. What is Jesus saying about the childlike? Because too often when we speak of purity, of being pure of heart, we think of purity as a moral thing. And it's much deeper than that. If you look at the original Greek word of that in the scripture, and I have the original Greek word here somewhere in my notes, the original Greek word speaks of being single-hearted. Single-hearted. The word is katharos. To be without admixture. To be simple in one thing. To be single-hearted. So blessed are the single-hearted is a more direct biblical translation. And what does it mean to be single-hearted? You know what it means? It means that we can see things as God sees them, that we can be truly transparent. And being transparent is sometimes painful because we live in a world where sometimes people get comfortable living with the superficial image, the hardness of heart that Jesus speaks about in today's gospel, and not the truth. Sometimes it's easier to go on living the lie. And the challenge is to be transparent, to be true. True to yourself, true to God, true to others. When Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, blessed are the single-hearted, he's speaking about something very, very deep and very important for us in our spiritual lives. To be childlike means to be focused on what's important to God and what's truly important in our call as children of God. Because we are called to see God, yes, and to see each other as God sees us. I don't know how many of you remember the song from the 80s by Bette Midler. You remember From a Distance?
Yeah.
God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. And there's something beautiful in that song where it says, you know, from a distance, we all look the same. There's something about that, isn't there? From a distance, we all look the same. How does God see you? How does God see us? When God sees us, he doesn't see us with all of our accidents. He doesn't see wrinkles. He doesn't see any of your defects that you see maybe when you look in the mirror. Oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. When God sees us, he sees us as his beloved children. And so that vision of God, to be able to see the way that God sees, is very necessary for us. If we are to be childlike and single-hearted, we must see each other the way that God sees us. We got to look beyond the accidents, beyond the externals, and look at the heart of the matter. Because it's only when we look at the heart of the matter that we see the truth. And ultimately, that's the challenge for our Christian life. To be childlike doesn't mean not to grow up. On the contrary, it means to grow in the ways of faith, to grow enough in God's grace to be able to see things as God sees them. So he says, bring them, the children, because it is to just such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. If you cannot accept the kingdom of God like a child, you cannot enter it. Very demanding words, huh? If we cannot open our hearts to God's way, if we cannot open our hearts to the kingdom way, if we cannot be single-hearted enough and pure enough to really see the way of God in our life, it's impossible for us to be citizens of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not about a passing feeling. It's not about an emotion. Oh, I feel so great here, or I feel this, or I feel that. No, the kingdom of God is about a conviction that we embrace because we know that God's way is the right way for us. And God's way is the way of love. That's what we're ultimately being called to. See these little children that came to Jesus? See them? Let them come to me. For just as these, the ones who are like them, they are the ones who will enter the kingdom. So our spiritual homework, my friends, is very demanding, because each and every day we fall into the trap of the greed, of the wanting more, or the needing more, of cluttering our lives with physical and emotional things that we really don't need. Emotionally, we clutter our lives with attitudes that are not the attitudes of Christ. For each and every one of us, that's different. To some people, it's their addiction, whatever that may be. To others, it may be a problem in a relationship, a problem at work, a difficulty with finances, or a difficulty with a family matter, and all those things that distract us from being single-hearted. And if we looked at each situation, especially the difficult situations of our lives, if we looked at them with the eyes of God, how would our lives change? How different would our lives be if we had the attitudes of Christ and we were able to be childlike in our faith, truly childlike, truly single-hearted? You know, this week, as yesterday we were blessing the animals, I was thinking of St. Francis of Assisi and his life, and obviously there have been many saints throughout the history of the church who have been known for different things, but Francis of Assisi was particularly special in his following of Jesus, because he basically told his rich father, I don't need any of it. And he was rebellious in that he left the family business, the family wealth, all that behind, and he said, I just want to dedicate myself to Jesus. And of course, everyone looking at him, you know, all the poor kids in the neighborhood must have thought, he's nuts. But he stripped himself, literally stripped himself, of everything, because he felt that that's the way that Jesus was calling him to radically live out the gospel in a time when the church was very rich, when there was very little difference between spiritual leaders and kings and princes. They all lived that way, like princes and kings. And he thought the church needs something different. And the story goes that he was praying one day in a little chapel, and he looked at the cross, and that he heard the voice of Jesus saying to him, Francis, repair my church. Now, first, Francis thought, oh my God, you know, God's telling me to go out. There's this little tiny thing that's falling apart, little chapel out in the field, and it's falling apart. I'm supposed to put the rocks back up and fix it and make it pretty, the building of the church. But then, as Francis was doing that, he got the vision that God had different plans. Repair the church, men. Renew, reform. Do something with all of this that's going on. And what was the answer, my friends? what we hear in today's gospel. Francis was able to embrace a childlike, single-hearted faith. He was able to embrace a way to be focused on Jesus. You know the main reason people leave their church? The main reason people stop practicing their faith? The main reason people drop out of their congregations? Is because they're not focused on Jesus Christ. They're focused on people. And I'm going to tell you something. If you come here, or if you go to any church, because the pastor, the priest, whatever, eventually you're going to drop out too. Because human beings will fail you and fall short. But if you are single-hearted and you're focused on Jesus, I can assure you your faith will be firm. And your trust will be firm. And when the rough times come, which they will, and the difficulties come, and the struggles come, your strength will be the Lord, because you are focused on Him. That's what I'm talking about. Childlike faith. If you are not childlike in your faith, you can't easily forgive. You're too cluttered by contrary emotions. You can't let go. And you can't even receive forgiveness if you're that cluttered up with negative emotions and feelings. You can't even receive the forgiveness, no matter how many times they tell you, God loves you, God forgives you, you won't believe it. A lot of clutter in there. Only that childlike, single-hearted faith will be able to see the truth about God and understand the truth about God. And Jesus came to us as a little child. There's a reason God did that. If you were God, would you have done it that way? Probably not. You know, I've often talked to God about this. I said, you know, why didn't you send your son in a spaceship? You know, like, woo, or like Star Trek, remember? Beam one down, Scotty, beam him down. Beam Jesus down. God could have done it. If Star Trek can do it, God can do it, right? Beam him down, Scotty. The Word made flesh. No, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us came as a little vulnerable baby, born of Mary, a woman, in a stable, cold. He needed food? And you mean they had to change Jesus' diapers too? Yeah, they did. All of that, all that vulnerability came to us, the Savior, as a child. There's a lesson there. There's a great lesson there. Let the children come to me, because it is to those that are just as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Are we able in our spiritual lives to embrace that childlike faith? Are we able to embrace that childlike trust? There's a great story about a house fire. It was like a house out, you know, in the rural area. And there was a family with many children. And of course, it was in the middle of the night, and the fire came, and the fire trucks came and all that, and the mother and the father got all their kids out, all the kids out, all the kids out. And they start counting the kids until they realize one of them stayed up in his room. And they could hear the voice, and they could see the smoke and the flames, and behind all that, they could see his little face back there, and he's screaming out, mommy, daddy. Now, little boy, from where he was, all he saw was flames and smoke and couldn't see his parents. But the little boy kept screaming, jump, I'm down here. Johnny, jump, your daddy's here, I'm ready. My arms are outstretched, they're ready. And Johnny's looking around, he can't see. Don't worry, I can see you, I know where you are. Jump. And eventually the little boy jumped and his dad was there and grabbed him and saved his life. In our spiritual lives, how many of us are ready to jump? How many of us have that childlike trust and faith that God will take care of us? Sometimes we spend all this time calculating, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do this? Curcio, good example. You know how many times I've been telling people for years, You gotta go to Curcio.
Well, you know, this weekend I can because I have that weekend I can, and the other weekend, oh, I don't know, and are they gonna like me there? They're not. You know what? You're never gonna go. You're never gonna go because you've got it all figured out, right? You're only gonna go when you trust. When you trust in God's way and you let go and you let God do it to you. And then when you come out of that week and you're like, man, why didn't I do this 20 years ago? Right? It was like me when I became an Anglican. I used to think, should I do it? Should I not? I don't know. Oh, you know, they're kind of funky over there. They like hymns way too much. I don't know. Well, you know, it's more serious than that. But when I did, I thought, man, I should have been here 20 years ago.
Funky over there.
Sometimes we live in fear, and fear paralyzes us. Even though it's a good thing for you, your culture, where you come from, you know, your custom, whatever, your routine, oh, that's too important for you. You know what? That's clutter. It's not God's way. God's way is the way of trust. It's the way of faith. I'm not asking you to be like a little kid and be immature. I'm telling you, childlike faith, to be single-hearted and focused on Jesus, that's the way of God. And that's what you and I are called to. So as we leave here today, remember, as you go into this wonderful world of ours with all of its challenges, do not forget you're called to have a childlike faith, a trust, an ability to see the presence of God in every person. Because the pure of heart can see God. The pure of heart can also see God in everyone. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.